I get to talk to you today about resting. I'm guessing I am not going to have to do a whole lot of work to convince you that as a society, we are not great at this, right? I think we kind of intuitively know that this is an area that we all could do a little bit better at. We're going to start out by kind of looking back into history a little bit, try to get a sense of when things started to shift and change around this whole idea of resting and resting well. Let's start all the way back in 1370, because that's the very first time that a clock was put on display in a public area. It was in a village in Germany. So this marks the point in time when humans begin to measure time in a really different way, right? So it's no longer just the natural rhythms of getting up when the sun comes up, going to bed when the sun goes down, and the sleep longer in the winters and sleep less in the summer kind of natural rhythms and pattern. Now there's a clock. So there's this different way of sort of telling time. All right, so that begins to have an impact, but let's fast forward now to 1879. You might know that that's when Edison invents the light bulb, which, among other things, cuts way, way down on the amount of sleep the average person was getting. So prior to the invention of the light bulb, the average person slept for 11 to 11 and a half hours a night. I know. Right, yes. Doesn't sound like a bad idea. I don't know if I could stay in bed that long. So one of the things that's happened over the last 150 years is that the average American's time for sleeping has been cut in half. Here's kind of the interesting thing, is that's not what was expected to happen. So sociologists back in the mid-1960s, they started to look at all these time-saving technologies that were being invented and used in most households in America. So there was the vacuum cleaner, the microwave, and dishwashers. Yeah, so lots of time being saved. And so a Senate subcommittee in 1967 predicted that the average American by the year of 1985 would work a 22-hour work week. Right. Yeah, and if that's not enough, listen to this, that we would only work 27 weeks out of the 52 weeks in a year. You know, I remember this back in 1967. I was a child growing into my teen years, and I remember hearing this and thinking, wow, that sounds pretty good. By the time I'm an adult, I'm not going to have to work as hard as my parents are working. Here's what happened, though. Interestingly, in that same period of time, the amount of leisure time that we have as Americans decreased by 37%. Huh. So again, I don't have to convince you. We might have a little bit of a problem with this whole resting thing, right, in our society. Well, mental health professionals recently coined a term this is a term that they use with the millennial generation in particular, but I think it really impacts all of us. They call it hurry sickness. It's defined by behaviors characterized with a continual sense of rushing or needing to rush, and this level of anxiety always being with us. Now, as the Marriage and Family pastor here, I meet with people throughout the week, and I can tell you that this is a thing. This is particularly a thing with people in their 30s and their 40s. I talk to people all the time that say that they don't feel like they can really rest. They don't feel like they can take a deep breath. Not only are they anxious all the time, but there's this fear that they feel all the time as well. Well, I don't think this is how we were meant to live. I don't think it's a life that works very well. So today we are going to look at resting. We're going to look at what does God have to say about resting? How does Jesus rest? We're going to look at Scripture and see that. And here's the good news, in case you were wondering. God really wants us to rest. In fact, He invites us all into His rest, day by day, moment by moment. Because to live a life that really works, we need to rest. So let's pray. Well, Father, even this talk about rest is making some of us anxious. So we invite you in right now. Yeah, Father, would you just help us take some deep breaths? And whatever is standing in the way of us receiving the rest that you have for us, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to come and supernaturally move that out of the way. And thank you that you desire to give us rest because you love each and every one of us so very, very much. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let's see what Jesus has to say about this whole resting thing. We're going to look at Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. You can grab a Bible if you want to. It's also up on the screen. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a beautiful invitation, isn't it? And right there in the verse, Jesus is saying, come to me, and you will find rest. So the same God who created this world that we live in, He invites each one of us individually and personally into His rest. So God, the Creator, He's the source of the rest that we long for. He's the one who established it in the very beginning. You might be familiar with the book of Genesis. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So here is this God of ours exploding with creativity. And as He speaks the world into existence and fills it with light and dark, with wet and dry, and life and beauty. And to highlight this creation, He creates humanity, man and woman, created in His image. And then at the end of this amazing creation, we see this little verse that doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense. It says that God rested. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, it says this, by the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. So think about this for a little bit. Here's God, the Creator, this big, powerful God, the ruler of the universe, and He rests. The one who sustains everything rests. Now, it isn't because He's tired. No. He's this all-powerful God. He doesn't rest because He's tired. This is talking about a relational rest. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all of them have been involved in creation, and all of them rest together. The all-powerful Trinity is at perfect relational peace and rest. And all of paradise, it flows out of this uniquely restful being. The first man and the first woman we read in Genesis, they walk with God in the gardens. They talk with Him. He's the focal point of what they do in their all of their existence. And the one thing that it means to be created in the image of God is that humans were built to live lives of rested satisfaction in God. But if you know the story, here's what happens. The enemy, he steps onto the scene. And you see, the enemy, he hates this rest that's found between us and God. And so he plants this lie deep down within us that we have to earn our rest. That this rest that we long for, it can never be a gift. No, we have to work really, really hard. And then maybe we'll get it from God. Because you know, the enemy says, that God, he's always holding out on you. That's one of the enemy's big lies that he tells. He says, if you follow me, Satan says, I'll show you how to work really, really hard, and then you can get rest. And the enemy, he's always offering us these formulas. He's always offering us sort of this quick fix sort of way to achieve the rest that God is just freely giving to us. So even today, we work to accomplish and to achieve and to strive for this restful relationship that God freely is offering to us. True rest, the lie says, it's just beyond your grasp. You just can't quite get a hold of it. And maybe again, if you work hard enough, you might get there. But it's a lie. Well, so the story goes on. And God, he chooses his people, the nation of Israel, and he dwells among them in this portable tent called a tabernacle. And he offers to reclaim that day of rest, that Sabbath day. So he's taking this action always, this action of restoring and renewing the relational rest that's been broken between God and humans. And once again, those who bear the image of God, we turn away from this God of rest. So God, the Creator, he sends to us the person of Jesus to show us what real rest looks like. God's restored rest, this real relational rest that comes through his Son, Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest, he's claiming to be the fulfillment of the Sabbath that God set out for his people. Jesus is saying to all of us, I'm the rest you seek. I can give you the gift of rest that you are longing for. So how do we do it? How do we receive this rest? How do we receive the rest that Jesus is inviting us into? Well, here's the good news. He's inviting all of us, just us ordinary people, into this rest. It's not being about being smart enough. It's not being about being spiritual enough. And it's not even about being old enough and wise enough. No, he offers it freely to everyone. In fact, there seems to only be two qualifications on this gift. He's inviting anyone who is weary, exhausted, tired, worn out. And he's inviting anyone who's burdened, carrying a heavy load. And I know that a lot of us fall into those categories. We're walking around feeling exhausted. We're walking around feeling like we're not sure how much more we can keep doing this. We feel like we can't ever really feel rested. And we're not sure there's any real relief in sight. Yeah, that's how we feel. That's perfect. That's exactly it. Well, here's the good news. The good news is that it gives God pleasure to invite us into his rest. So you can look at verse 26. It comes just before what I read. And it says, yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. And I think this means that God takes pleasure in giving us rest. He takes pleasure in telling us that we don't have to earn his rest. God takes pleasure in accomplishing this rest for us and then offering it to us as a gift. God takes pleasure in giving this gift to each and every one of us. And Jesus, he's inviting us into himself, into this relationship with him. Come to me, he says. And have you noticed yet in your life that other people can't give you the rest that you're looking for? Yeah. And so often we're looking for some other human to somehow give us what it is that they can't give us. We might be looking for a compliment. Instead, maybe we get criticized. Or maybe you have worked really, really hard to do something for your family, make this great meal or something. Or maybe you've worked really hard at work to do something for the team. Or maybe you've worked here at the church really, really hard. And instead of being thanked, maybe you just get ignored. Nobody seems to even notice your effort. Or maybe even worse, you get criticized. And when we have these kinds of interactions with people, we feel what rest we have begin to slip away from us. And then what happens? Well, so often, we don't respond with gentleness and humility, but with anger and defensiveness. Why? Because we're looking for other people to give us this rest that only Jesus can give us. And if I know that Jesus offers me this true rest, that I can get it from him anytime, then when somebody else offers their thoughts about me that are kind of hurtful and maybe sting, I can respond with grace and humility and gentleness. Because I know that I can't really ever be separated from Jesus and the rest that he has for me. So I no longer have to become defensive. I no longer have to argue my point. I don't have to be right all the time. And I don't need to look to other people to give me what my soul desires most of all. And that's to find this rest. So then, how do we do it, right? Living the gift of rest day by day. What does that look like? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? How do we walk out this gift of Jesus is so freely offering to each one of us? Well, here's some good news, especially for you young people. You don't have to wait for retirement for this. Yeah, that's what our society tells us, right? Work really, really hard. Put plenty of money in your 401k. Don't count on Social Security for being there. And then finally, you're going to get that rest. But that's not the portrait that we see of Jesus at all, is it? No, in Jesus we see this man who works really, really hard. He works really long hours, right? And he's really busy, his life is really full, and then he even gets interrupted lots of times in his life and gets pulled this way and that way. But yet he lived a life of rest. And in several places, we see that in those busy times were the times when he does the most healing. So again, how does this thing work? How do we live out a life of rest and not just stop doing everything? Well, Jesus is inviting us into this really intimate relationship with his Father. Listen to the text, the same text. This is a translation by Eugene Peterson from The Message. It starts in verse 25, and listen to this. You can read along with me on the screen. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your way from sophisticates and know-it-all, but spelled it out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. And Jesus resumes talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of the Father and the Son's intimacy and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it, line by line, with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Man, doesn't that just sound beautiful? Doesn't that just sound so inviting and appealing? So this is not a formula, right? This isn't a quick fix approach to spirituality. It takes humility to come to Jesus. It takes humility to come and say, I don't know everything. In fact, I don't know a whole lot. Jesus, I need you to teach me. I need you for my Savior. And Jesus, he's inviting us into this place of rest. All right, let's get real practical now. In the Message version, it says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. So how does this look day in and day out? Well, we need to find some time to spend with God, to get away with him. Are we doing that? Are we spending time just with Jesus? Time to hear from God. Time to read the Bible so that we even have some idea of what Jesus' life looked like that we're supposed to be imitating. So that we even have any idea who this God is that invites us in to this rest. This is all about intimacy with God. And that doesn't just happen unless we spend time with him. That's what Jesus did, right? If you're familiar with the Gospels, you'll see in the Gospels again and again and again that Jesus, after being busy and even worn out, he gets up early in the morning and he goes and spends time alone with his Father, right? Yeah. But on the other side, we have to be careful. This isn't a try harder kind of thing. This isn't a legalistic sort of thing. If I just put these things in place and check the box off, then I've got it. Then I've got it figured out. That's not what it's about. But it is about spending time with God. This whole spending time with God, you know, it can look a whole lot of different ways. I'm going to tell you a few ways that this has worked for me and how God has challenged me to grow in spending time with him and challenged me to look at what I thought was going to give me rest and give me more of him, which really wasn't designed to do that at all. So I'm going to give you the example of my life because I am a get-it-done kind of person. I move quickly to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. I am all about checking boxes. I love lists. I love to cross things off my list. I am not a natural rester. I am not someone who slows down very well. And God has taken a lot of time to teach me how to find my rest in him. So I've been seriously following Jesus for about 47 years. And for most of that time, I have set aside a part of my day to spend with him. Back in the day, we called it our daily quiet times. This is a time to spend reading and praying. And I did that most of my Christian life. And you can imagine that when I was raising small children, those times were very limited and very short. And so seasons of life change the way that all of that looks like. But here's what that was about for me. It was about a discipline of meeting with God because I needed to check that box off. It was very important to me to be a good Christian, so I wanted to check that box off. And now there was nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with the discipline of reading God's word, and I can tell you that I have learned so much by spending 47 years reading God's word. There's a lot of value in that. And as I spent time praying, mostly it looked like, Here's my list of things I'd like you to do for me, God, and I like to check them off. I'd really like you to adapt the same list, and would you just start crossing those off and doing those for me? That's just kind of how it looked for me. And again, that's not bad. There's nothing bad in that. But none of that was designed to give me rest. So about 10 years ago, I felt like God started to say to me, Casey, would you walk with me? Would you take walks with me? And I'm frankly embarrassed to stand up here and tell you that I heard him inviting me into that for probably 4 years before that became something that I regularly did with him. I had all sorts of great excuses, right? It's cold out, have you noticed? It's really? You want me to walk? It's below zero today. And he just kept gently inviting me, Casey, come and walk with me. So finally, eventually, I got there to where it was a developed regular routine, part of my regular day. And then what does he say to me? He says, Casey, while you walk with me, start taking pictures. Well, I have never had any interest whatsoever in photography. My husband's a great photographer. My daughter's a good photographer. They have cameras. I don't have cameras. I don't care about cameras. But you know, I have this little device that I carry around with me all the time now, right? It happens to have a camera on it. So, okay. And I like to do multiple things at a time. So this is great. I'll walk with you. I'll take pictures. I can do that. So that wasn't that hard for me to start adding that piece in. So I started doing it, started taking pictures. Well, have you noticed that you can't take pictures like while you're walking? You kind of have to stop to take a picture. And God used that to slow me down, to get me to a place where I would slow down and walk with him. And this crazy thing happened that I would never have expected. I began to see things I'd never seen before. I started to notice things like lights and shadow, the kinds of things my photographer husband would talk about. I started to notice color in this really vibrant way. In fact, I can remember being so distracted by the fall leaves that I would almost run off the road. And I said to my husband, can you even believe the color of those leaves? Like, we've never, ever had a fall like this before. It's amazing. I don't know why it is. And of course, he chuckled and said, well, I don't think it's any different than normal, Casey. I think you just finally started noticing. And so what happened is God used these things to slow me down. This was his way of teaching me how to rest. This was his way of helping me connect more with him. And I connect with him well in nature. And so it was his way of doing that. It was his way of putting some margin in my day-to-day life where I could find my rest in him. So now for maybe the past 5 years or so, I have this morning routine, and it provides space in my busy life for me to breathe deeply, for me to get the rest I need from my Father. And so what it looks like for me is not what it's going to look like for you. So don't listen to this and say, oh, okay, I'm going to write these things down and then I'm going to do exactly what Casey does. No, that's not what I'm saying. And it looks different again in different seasons of our lives. But I think that there's some pieces in this that are super helpful. So for me, this is what it looks like. I get up between 6 and 6:30 every day. And I stretch. It's the first thing I do. I stretch because I know that at this age, if I don't stretch, I'm going to be in pain all day. And so I stretch. And while I stretch, I think about the day ahead of me. If there are people who I know are having surgeries or certain people that God has put on my mind, then I pray for them while I'm stretching. I get done stretching. I walk into the kitchen and I flip on the teapot with the water in it that boils, that thing. I flip that on, and then I go and I grab my phone, and I pull up an app called Pray As You Go, and I turn the Pray As You Go app on, and while I listen to the Pray As You Go app, I brew my tea, and oftentimes I unload or load the dishwasher. Okay, so again, this doesn't look like some really spiritual thing. For me, I hear best, I learn best when I move. For some people, that's not true. They hear best, they learn best by being really still. So it's just about what does it look like for you. So that takes between 11 and 13 minutes to listen to that. Sometimes I don't like the music. Sometimes the music is irritating to me. So I fast forward through the music. If it isn't going to draw me to God, I'm not going to do it, right? So I go through that devotional, I get my tea's ready, I go and I sit down, and this is the time that I spend reading my Bible and then praying through my prayer journal. Right now, I'm using N.T. Wright's study on the book of Hebrews, and it's really great. But my really favorite book that I've used, I think you're going to see it here up on the screen in just a minute, is Search the Scriptures. It's really big and really thick, but it takes you through all of the Bible in 3 years if you do it every day. Now, it's big and thick. I travel a lot. I don't take it with me. It took maybe even 5 years for me to go all the way through it. Ask 3 questions, give some cross references. I highly recommend it if you're looking for some kind of a Bible devotional to use. And then I grab my prayer journal. And I pray every day for a different country that we're involved in. I pray for the different churches, Vineyard churches in northern Minnesota and Superior, Wisconsin. I pray for family members. I pray for everybody on staff here. I pray for whatever it is that day I have written down to pray for. So I do all of those things, and then I get up and take a 1 mile walk. All of this takes about 2 hours. And you're like, are you kidding? I don't have 2 hours in my day to spend doing this, and it's quite likely that you don't. For a lot of seasons in my life, I didn't either. But here's the benefit. During this time that I spend almost every morning, I'm reminded of who I am. I'm reminded that I am deeply loved by my Father. I'm reminded of all the things I'm grateful for in my life. It is literally breathing room for my soul. And son, on many of these days, when I get in my car and I drive the 20 minutes to work, I put worship music in because it helps me to continue and have that space of refreshing and renewing of my soul. So by the time I get here, by the time I walk into my place of work, I'm ready. I'm full of God's peace. I've been refreshed, and I am so much more ready to be an ambassador of Jesus than if I had gotten up, eaten breakfast, headed out the door, and listened to the news on my way. I did that for a lot and a lot and a lot of years. So how did I get to this place? Again, hear me say, I've been practicing for 47 years. Hear me say, I'm very slow at this, right? I knew what God was inviting me into. It took me a long time to get there. And don't hear me say that this is what you need to be doing at all. The question isn't, what does Casey do? The question is, what's God inviting you into? But again, since I've been doing this for so many, many years, many more years than many of you are even old, I've learned a few things. So here are my 3 best practical tips that I have for you. And the very first one is get an accountability partner. For 10 years, I have emailed someone every single day, and she emails me every day, and my emails go something like this. Today, I stretched, I did my devotionals, I prayed, I went for my walk, I didn't count calories. Yeah, I'm hoping that last one will get in there one of these days. And here's the deal. Find an accountability partner that's actually going to keep you accountable. My accountability partner is kind of ruthless. So when I sent too many emails in a row that said, I didn't walk today, you know what she said? She said, so when did Jesus tell you he doesn't want to walk with you anymore, Casey? Yeah. That helped me. I really didn't want to tell her that I didn't walk. And it helped me actually get out there and walk. I'm not sure I would have it in my daily routine today if it wasn't for my accountability partner. Here's the second thing. Be really intentional about adding new habits that God is inviting you into by linking them with another habit. So I learned this at some point, and I thought it was brilliant, and it's helped me immensely. It's this idea that we all have habits in our day, If you want to start a new habit, link it to an existing habit. I'm going to assume we all brush our teeth once a day. All right? So while you're, let's just assume. So while you're brushing your teeth, maybe God is inviting you in to spend a little bit more time with Scripture. So at some point, write down some small Scripture passages on some post-it notes. Put one on your mirror. While you're brushing your teeth, read the passage. And then if you really want to take it to the next step, ask God, what do you have for me in this passage today while I'm brushing my teeth? So this was super helpful to me. Every single day, for sure, I'm going to make a pot of tea because I like having a hot cup of tea in the morning. So for sure, that's going to happen. So I said to myself, what can I link to that? Right? I'm going to do that. What can I link to it? I linked the Go As You Pray app to that. So that worked really nicely for me. I had a pretty good routine of the Bible study and the prayer. So what can I link to that? Well, eventually I managed to link walking to that despite what the temperature was outside. So that's how that whole thing worked really, really well for me. Again, this leads to the third point then. What is Jesus inviting you into? Always be asking God, what is it that you're inviting me into next? I can tell you what it is for me right now. For probably at least a year, again, I am slow at this stuff. So for at least a year, God's been inviting me to review my day with him at the end of the day. He's inviting me to take 3 minutes, 5 minutes, to just go through my day. Find places where he was that I didn't notice him. Think about places in my day where I got defensive, where I felt short-tempered with somebody or something like that. He's inviting me to go back to those points and then have me look at them with him. Huh, what was that all about, Jesus? What do you have to teach me about what happened there in that moment? What do you have for me as I review my day? So again, he's inviting me into that. It is not a regular habit. I'm hoping to get that established and link to that the counting calorie thing. And then that seems brilliant to me, right? So we'll see. You can ask me how that's going for me. All right, here's another thing. And I know that it depends greatly on the season of life that you're in, but if you can do it, I highly recommend that you look at your calendar for a year and find a place in there where you can pull out 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days maybe, where you can just get away with God, just you and Jesus, out of your normal routine, even out of your normal habitat, wherever it is that you live. And go somewhere and just get alone with Jesus for the purpose of hearing him and talking to him about what he's inviting you into. And I try to do this every year. Sometimes I've gone away. There are retreat centers you can go to. They're usually not real expensive. Other times, like this past year, I felt like God was inviting me to go away and actually kind of pressing me to go away. I asked a few people about cabins that they had or things, and nothing was working out for me. So I asked my accountability partner, would you pray about this? I'm trying to find a place to go. And she said, hey, actually, we're leaving town. Would you want to come watch our cat for a couple of days? Sure. That worked. God always has all the resources for whatever it is that he's inviting us into. Well, here's this other thing that is a little bit surprising in the way that God invites us into things. For over 20 years, I have gone with my girlfriends on a trip to the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. So every year for all of this time, we get together and we go. And here's what I've realized. I've always felt like, man, this is just breathing room for my soul. This is really a time for me to connect really well with God. And the reason is that God invites me to take a week off from making decisions. So I go with this lovely group of women, and I don't make any decisions. That's the deal. They know I'm not going to make a decision. I don't care where we go. I don't care what we eat. I don't care what campsite. So when we float up to a campsite, I don't even get out. I don't get out of my kayak. I just sit there. You decide. You tell me where my tent's going to be. You tell me when we're going to eat. I don't care about any of it because I have to make a lot of decisions. I bet a lot of you do too, every single day. And God has given me that week to take a rest by not making decisions. He's super creative about this stuff, isn't he? About what he invites us into. All right, so this past year I was given this ridiculously amazing gift, this gift of a month-long sabbatical, where I had the opportunity to walk across northern Spain with three other women on the Ignatius Camino. So this is the path that St. Ignatius took. And this is one of those things that, like, I had whispered in this tiny little whisper, oh man, God, I'd so like to do that. I wouldn't even call it a prayer, just kind of this kind of pathetic little, oh, please, that would just be so cool. And I don't have a bucket list, but if I had a bucket list, this would have been at the top of the bucket list, all right? So this is one of those things I have just really deeply wanted to do. This opportunity came up. My husband graciously said, yes, go do it. The money got kind of pulled together. And so I left and joined these three other women, and we walked across northern Spain for a month. Everything just lined up perfectly. It was wonderful. It was exhausting. It was painful. It was all the things that you would imagine it to be. And as we started, here's the basilica that's in Loyola. This is the birthplace of St. Ignatius and where he started his journey, where we started our journey. So on the morning, this is taken from my window, we got up and we went into the basilica and we found this chapel and we literally chased down this Jesuit priest and said to him, what advice would you give us? So we're going to walk across Spain. We know that that's something that you've probably done lots of times. What advice would you give us? And he said this really simple thing. He said, let God be God. It's better that way. All right. Okay. I didn't think it was all that brilliant at the moment, but I thought, all right. And so we kind of took that with us, and we actually talked about it a great deal. And you know what I've decided now? I think it's brilliant. And here's why. Because each day, as I rest in God, and I let God be God, then I'm free to just be me. And guess what? Life's better that way. Yeah. Seems so simple. So this is absolutely all about relationship with God. God desires to give you rest. You can count on that truth. God desires to give you rest. God is inviting you in to rest right now. And it's just all about us being intentional and giving some space in our life for that to happen. Would you stand with me, please? So as you stand, I want to pray for us for a couple of things. I'm going to ask God to give you the name of somebody you can be accountable to. And I'm going to ask God, what is he uniquely inviting you into? And I'm just going to give some space, some quiet space for that to happen. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room now even more. And God, we thank you for the truth that you love each and every one of us and you desire for us to rest in you. Thank you that that's true, Father. And so even now, we're asking you, would you right now as we listen, would you give us the name of someone we can be accountable to? Thank you. And Father, would you let each one of us know what you're uniquely inviting us into because of who you made each one of us to be? We're just going to be quiet and listen for your voice. Thank you, Father. Thank you again for the truth of your word, for the truth that you desire rest for us. So those of us who feel heavily burdened, who feel weary and worn out, yeah, Father, would you just draw us into yourself? Bring us that peace, that rest that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you prayed that prayer and as you listened, there's a few options. You heard of something from God. Maybe you heard something and you have a lot of resistance to that. Maybe you heard something and you're super excited about that. I would invite you to share whatever that is with some other human. We have some great humans that I'm going to invite up, our prayer ministry team. They're great people for you to share that with. So as the prayer ministry team comes up, I'd like you to think about coming forward and just saying, hey, here's what I felt like God said to me. Here's the name I felt like God said to me. Here's what I think God is inviting me into. But maybe for some of you, you didn't feel like you heard anything. Or maybe you're a little confused at what you felt like you heard. And that's all right. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. This hearing God's voice thing, it takes practice. So again, if that's you, I would invite you to come forward and receive prayer from somebody up here. And just say, just be honest. Here's what I thought I heard. It sounds weird to me. I don't know. What do you think? Would you pray with me about that? Or I didn't feel like I heard anything. Would you ask God with me about what he has for me? And maybe you're here today and you have never asked Jesus to actually be your Savior. You have never entered in to that initial relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, I want to invite you to come and do that. To say, Jesus, I can't do this thing. I can't do this thing by myself. I need you. And so again, maybe for the very first time you're ready to say that. If so, come down, let us know that. We have a packet that we want to give you that will help you on that path. But maybe you've done that before. But maybe that's what you feel like you need to say again. Man, I don't know how to do this thing. I'm exhausted. So wherever you're at, it doesn't make any difference. God is inviting you into his rest because he loves you. Not in this universal way that he loves everyone, which he does, of course. He loves you. He knows your name. He's inviting you into this intimate relationship with him. So again, I invite you to stay in worship. Bask in that form of resting with him. And come forward and get prayer. Thanks for coming today.